Well, good day everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is a live evening prophecy reality edition. So if you're listening live in the evening, come on over to the chat room and join us. Tonight I have as my guest, and it is nighttime where he's at. It's like 10 p.m. in Iowa, or is it Idaho? I'm sure he'll let us know. And let me see, I got an earbud here so I can hear him. Can you hear me, Tom? Okay, I think, let me turn him up. Can I hear you, Tom? Ah, there you are.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't have the board thing up. Okay, well, everyone can hear everyone. Hey, what did you think? Did you hear the Pope speak?
No, I didn't hear the Pope speak. I've been reading articles about his speeches and one thing and another, and so it's really not a great interest in what this particular Pope or any Pope speaks for that matter.
Right.
Except as how it fulfills Bible prophecy and confirms the Protestant view of the papacy. And
I was reading some articles, though, you know, because the Pope is celebrating the Reformation, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Tom?
Well, it's an outright lie. He's not celebrating the Protestant Reformation. If Rome has anything to celebrate, it is the death of the Protestant Reformation.
Yes.
That has been brought about, even now, admittedly, by the Vatican by Roman Catholic authors. The death of Protestantism was brought about by the Jesuits.
Yeah.
At the Council of Trent.
So you think it's all just a pretense on the part of Pope Francis there?
Well, you can't lead the world astray until you can make the lie sound attractive.
Right. And I'll tell you what, reading some articles and reading the Pope's little speech, it all sounded very attractive to the undiscerning. That I have to admit.
Well, they always use flowery words. Big words to cover up diabolical nuances, and it's very interesting to be able to read documents and statements authored by the Vatican and know what is really being said, and one always has to read between the lines.
Absolutely.
One always has to be mindful of what the Jesuit-led Counter-Reformation is. What the Jesuits are, what the Council of Trent was, and what it meant to Protestantism. And how the Jesuits, per the tenets of the Council of Trent, have led a Counter-Reformation assault and have deceived the Protestants into believing that the Roman Catholic Church is not, as was believed by the Protestant reformers, the synagogue of Satan, and have led Protestants to believe, contrary to what the Protestant reformers said unanimously, one find unity and unanimity among Protestants. Here's what the Protestant reformers said.
Okay.
The papacy is the Antichrist. And that used to be universally known and understood. That's what made one a Protestant.
Yeah, that's pretty much a cornerstone of the Protestant Reformation. As a matter of fact, I notice, he doesn't call it the Protestant Reformation. He just calls it a Reformation.
Yeah.
And he lauds what Martin Luther did, a few things, but he ignores, most of what the protest was over.
Yeah, they can't talk about those details because that would derail their ecumenical plans for a universal church.
Right.
And complete reunion with the Roman Catholic Church in Rome. And so, the critical details about the Protestant Reformation and Martin Luther's beliefs are omitted. They're counterproductive because they condemn the Roman Catholic Church. They condemn the papacy as idolatry, as the synagogue of Satan, as I've said before, and the papacy as the man of sin, the son of perdition. And the belief, and this is what has been almost universally forgotten among the Protestant churches who dare not even call themselves Protestant anymore.
Right.
It has escaped them that Protestantism was literally a revolt that took place all over Europe and all throughout the Christian world when it was finally realized and comprehended among Bible-believing Christians who, after reading the scriptures for the first time in their own languages, came to the unanimous conclusion that the papacy itself, the office of the papacy, is the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist of the Bible. And that the church of Rome, the Roman Catholic Church, was the synagogue of Satan. And that's what led the revolt. At first, it started out before the realization of that truth finally soaked in. There was a move among the quote-unquote reformers, who were all Roman Catholic at the time, many of them monks within the Roman Catholic Church, that there were some things that needed to be reformed, to put it mildly, about the Roman Catholic Church. And but as time went on, and knowledge and understanding of the scriptures became more complete, which took time, the reformers finally began to refer to themselves not as reformers of that church, but protesters of that church.
That's right. Yeah.
Understanding that that church, as described in the Bible, the whore that sits upon the beast, the scarlet-colored beast, decked in gold and silver and precious stones and pearls, with a golden cup in her hand, full of the filthiness of the abominations, you know, drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus, could be none other than the Roman Catholic Church, and that it would never be reformed. It was what it was, and it would forever be what it is until Christ himself destroys it. And so they cease to call themselves reformers only in the sense that they were not ever intended to, or would never be successful at any attempt to reform that church. And now it was up to them, if reform was necessary, to reform their own beliefs and understandings according to the scripture.
Right.
And from that point on, accepting personal reform out of the Roman Catholic Church, their business was then only to protest the Roman Catholic Church. And that's why Protestantism is called Protestantism. And many try to correct me all the time, making sure that I dot all my I's and cross all my T's and speak exactly the same way they do. They call it the Protestant Church. Okay?
Who does?
Trouble with that is, if you talk about the Protestant Church, nobody recognizes it. Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Right.
Because they can't make the connection between the Protestant Church and the protest in which they all engaged that rendered the name Protestant correct. They don't make the connection.
So we need to
call
ourselves...
You ask any number of self-professed Protestants today on the street, are you a Protestant? Well, they will say yes. Then you ask them, what are you protesting?
Yeah.
And they won't even make the connection.
Mm.
So I continue insistently to call it the Protestant Church and decry with horror the ignorance that has overtaken them.
Well, you know, one thing I know, Tom, is that the counter-reformation or the counter-protest is alive and well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but people don't see it any more than they see what a Protestant or a Protestant should be. I'm not sure there are any Protestant churches left in America.
If there are, they're keeping a pretty low profile, yeah. And I'm beginning to understand why.
Yeah, they're few and far between. And low profile, yeah, I don't know where they're, I frankly don't know where any are myself.
Yeah. Look, if there was anybody making a significant blow of the trumpet that could be heard, it would be talked about. I mean, they would be labeled as haters, you know, religious racists,
right,
or religious bigots.
Right, religious
bigots. To use the terms that this current pope, religious racism, anti-Roman Catholic bigotry, and they would be lambasted in the press and made an... I'm sorry, I got a frog in my throat tonight. And lambasted in the press and minimized and marginalized and criminalized and demonized and spoken ill favor of and finally persecuted and prosecuted and put completely out of business. And we've seen that happen ourselves, you and I both, to another Christian ministry, simply because it spent most of its time identifying the papacy as the Antichrist and the Roman Catholic Church as the synagogue of Satan and decrying the error of ecumenism. And that ministry hardly exists if it exists at all anymore.
Yeah, you know what Pope Francis was indicating today is that Martin Luther did a good job of reforming the church, and the things that Martin Luther wanted to do are recognized and have had their effect. What do you think?
that's a bald-faced lie.
Yeah, I know. But it all
Martin
sounded
Luther,
so good.
Martin Luther, just one major item of his 95 theses was the sale of indulgences.
Mm-hmm.
That is, the buying and selling of forgiveness of sin. And I think it was Benedict the 16th, before he resigned, reinstated indulgences.
Hmm.
So,
wow.
Rome speaks with forked tongue, as any demon would.
Yeah.
You know, and many people hear my colorful language, and they interpret my forceful manner of speaking as, well, unfriendly. And, but I'm no friend of the Roman Catholic Church. I'm no friend of the synagogue of Satan, and I'm no friend of the Antichrist, and I'm no friend of ecumenical evangelical bellies who have spit in the face of the Protestant reformers, God's men of the age, that restored true biblical Christianity and single-handedly, at least for a time, a very short time, destroyed the power of the Roman Catholic Church and of the papacy. They spit in the face of the martyrs of Jesus. They spit in the face of those whom God gave the scriptures in their own language and the Holy Spirit to teach them every truth. I've often said, and I'm sure you've heard me say, that if Martin Luther and the other innumerable Protestant reformers could see what their churches have done, even the Lutheran Church, named after Martin Luther himself, if they could see from their graves what those churches have done in rejoining or attempting to rejoin the Roman Catholic Church, they wouldn't turn in their graves. They would come out of their graves and stone them to death. And I'll tell you, this all sounds real emotional and real attention-getting, like I'm trying to startle people. It's worse than that. Now Rome, because of Vatican Council II and the ecumenical movement, they have a political and a religious mandate now to establish themselves as the head of this new world order. And if anybody in your listening audience has ever studied what the old world order was like and realized that the new world order is simply the restoration on a global scale of the old world order,
yeah,
it means nothing but persecution and horror and torture and murder. God's true Bible-believing Christians, the saints of God. And, you know, I've said this many times, maybe people have heard me, maybe they haven't, but there's an Inquisition coming to once Protestant America, the likes of which I don't think history has ever recorded. The potential exists for a united Roman Catholic Church and all the ecumenical evangelibelly churches to join them, to gang up on God's tiny little remnant and destroy them, and think while they're doing it that they're doing God's service.
That's right.
I mean, it's such a plausible scenario as to be almost predictable.
Well,
this is what Rome has always done every time she gained the upper hand.
Yeah, I believe that we can predict it too, because God's word predicts it. Unfortunately,
yeah,
for us, that we'll be living through that time that's coming up.
He warned us ahead of time, and he warned us not to be offended at him when persecuted by the Antichrist and his church. God has not forsaken us, but Rome's sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. And I grieve in my deep down in my soul for all those who once called themselves Protestants and have defied the word of God, have defied their own consciences, and have sought to have ecumenical unity with the Roman Catholic Church, that church that cannot be reformed, that will not be reformed, that will remain what it is until Christ comes to destroy it. What church calling itself Protestant or evangelical would find any hope in finding unity with Rome boggles my imagination.
Yeah, why they would even want to do it, defies any logic that I have anyway.
If we just only spoke in current terms, there's a global pedophile priest pandemic that has raged all over the world for decades. It's been in the mainstream media. It's been splattered all over the papers, all over the world. Rome's got a problem that they don't even deny. Their priests are pedophiles. Their priests are sodomites.
Well, now that that's
The nunneries and the monasteries are nothing but hotbeds of sexual immorality.
But now that that's been accepted, Tom, it doesn't matter anymore, does it?
Well, that's just it. Our country has mainstreamed sodomy.
Well, not just this country, but pretty much accepted fairly worldwide throughout Europe, Africa, you name it. It's all being accepted now.
Yeah. But what? I mean, you would think that common sense began to open some of the eyes of those churches that pretend that they want to be a part of that church and not return to their Protestant understanding and their Protestant roots and their protest against that church. I just have a you know, a difficult time, wrestle with this every day. How could the ecumenical movement of Rome be so successful? And this, and the answer is simple, Nicholas.
Go ahead.
The answer is simple. They began to teach in the Protestant churches in England in the early 1800s that the man of sin was not the papacy, but was somebody to come long in the distant future, a single individual. The man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist was going to be a single man, an individual. And he wouldn't come until just 7 years or 3.5 years before Christ's literal return. And that single-handedly exonerated the entire history of the man of sin in Rome. Because if you believe in a single Antichrist, a future Antichrist, then you cannot, you've locked yourself out of the ability to comprehend and understand and believe, as did the Protestant Reformers, that the papacy is, was, and always will be the Antichrist of the Bible. Look no further for Antichrist but the papacy. The Protestant Reformers unanimously believed there was no other possibility but that the papacy was the Antichrist of the Bible. There was no other institution, human or otherwise, that could fulfill the role of the man of sin and the son of perdition, the Antichrist, but the papacy.
Well, I'm in total agreement. You heard the tones. We're going to take a little break here for 3 minutes. We'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll hear a little bit more from Tom Fress. So all you out there listening, don't go anywhere.
My salvation, I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded. It has been borrowed. It has been purchased. It has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Nighttime Edition. So if you're not with us at the nighttime, you're listening to the rebroadcast during the day or the week or whenever, sign up for my blog and you'll get a notification in your email during the day to remind you to show up for the nighttime broadcast. So all the people that forgot and aren't with us tonight, we miss you. Or maybe you're out voting or something. Who knows where people... It's probably what it is. Everyone's watching the election. Anyway, I have Tom Fress with me, and right now we're listening to Tom's excellent series on Footprints of the Jesuits. I think we're about one-third through that. So what's next for us, Tom, after we're done listening to that excellent series?
Well, your guess is as good as mine.
Oh, don't know yet.
And,
huh?
Oh no! Look, my project is if you're familiar with renovating an old house, you realize that the further you get into the project, the deeper you get into it.
And, yes.
And besides that, I really didn't come here to talk about my own situation. We have much more serious things to talk about. Than my personal life.
Well, I just wanted to know where we were going next. If you had any idea, or you don't have any idea, then we can leave.
Well, look, I'm looking at them right here as best as I can organize them in the situation I'm in.
Uh-huh.
But I have a library of more than 400 hard copy books. I'm looking at them right here.
Great.
And I've read a good many of those on Inquisition Update and comment on them and explained them. And if I live to be 110, I'll never be able to read all of those books on the Inquisition Update. But if I live to be 110, and God gives me breath, I'll be reading those Protestant books. If First Amendment Radio will give me the airtime, and God gives me breath, I'm going to read those Protestant books.
Well, as long as God gives me breath, I'll be here, and I'll make the time available to you, Tom. Hey, you know, I was reading. I have this idea. Did you know that that the church dug up the bones? The Catholic Church dug up the bones of Wycliffe and burned them.
Sure.
And you know, I had this idea. I was listening to someone read out of the Word of God, and they read the Word of God, and they read this. You know, the psalm that says, consider my meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, they changed the words in newer English translations to consider my groanings. And when I heard that, it made me groan. And immediately I thought, you know, they're still burning the bones of Wycliffe.
Sure. Yeah.
When they're changing the words of the Reformation Bibles. And they're doing it intentionally, too.
Sure, they have to.
And so the Counter-Reformation is alive and well, regardless of what the newest man of sin speaks and tries to convey. It's
look,
all
the
pretense.
The true
Counter-Reformation continues on.
Absolutely.
They continue to burn the bones of Wycliffe and the other great...
The Bible translators.
Yeah.
That's right.
Especially Daniel chapter 9. The 70th week's prophecy, how they changed the words there.
Yeah.
There's the Counter-Reformation is alive and well. It's all a pretense to bring people in and to delude them. But there are a few people that are waking up, Tom. Mm-hmm. So we can.
God knows his own, and he knows how to wake them up. I get discouraged at the lack of response to the Protestant message, but I can't get discouraged. It's not my business to get discouraged,
right,
but to keep preaching the truth and sounding the alarm. But let me explain something. You were talking about perversion of the Bible. Here's something that maybe you and especially some of your listeners may not understand. The Scripture has always been and forever will be the greatest enemy of the man of sin and the synagogue of Satan. Taken literally and correctly as God meant it to be, the Bible identifies positively, unmistakably, the papacy as the Antichrist and the Roman Catholic Church as the synagogue of Satan. And that's a big problem for even those in the Roman Catholic Church, because some of them are astute enough when they read even those perverted Bibles to come to the truth.
That's right.
And Rome has forever been trying to silence those within that church that say the Bible is describing the papacy and the Roman Catholic Church. And when the Inquisition was, Rome has always had a system within itself to deal with those that come to that truth and to deal harshly with it and to make sure that anyone within that church that comes to the realization that the Bible is speaking of none other than the papacy itself and the Roman Catholic Church, to put them silent and to dissuade anybody from ever taking that position. And you could list all names of those within the Roman Catholic Church who came to the Protestant truth. You could read those names. Some of them would be recognizable to us, like Savonarola.
Right.
And Rome was constantly battling its own people to silence the truth.
That's right.
About the papacy. And it escalated until what was finally known as the Holy Office of the Inquisition. That was a Gestapo-like circuit of priests that were assigned to the very purpose of silencing dissent within the Roman Catholic Church. And so the only way to stop Roman Catholics from coming to that realization was to pervert the Scriptures. They were reading the Scriptures and coming to this conclusion.
Yeah, and even keep them from reading the perverted Scriptures.
Yes. The less exposure to even the perverted Bibles was the only assurance that the Vatican had that Roman Catholics within the Church would denounce the papacy as the Antichrist. And as time went on, it became even more known and suspected. And it eventually led to the Protestant Reformation. That's what led to the Protestant Reformation.
Absolutely.
The knowledge from the Scriptures that the Bible describes none else but the papacy as the man of sin, the son of perdition, the little horn, the mouth that speaks great things against the Most High and thinks to change times and laws. And Martin Luther made that proclamation publicly, and knowing that it would cost him his life, he nailed his 95 theses, and when he was excommunicated from the church, he eventually denounced C as the Antichrist. He burnt his copy of the Roman Catholic canon law, and he proclaimed Christ King, and he proclaimed the papacy the Antichrist.
Right.
And that's where I stand. That's where he stood. Now, Rome would like us to believe that the Protestant Reformation is over. And all the Lutheran World Conference and all the national and international organizations for the once Protestant churches are leading all of their sheeple astray.
Yeah,
and, there's only, go ahead, Nicholas.
What a coup for the, for the Catholic Church, for the Vatican to be joining hands with the Lutheran World Council or whatever it is.
Yeah.
What a coup for them. It's like they've won. Their Jesuit army has worked so hard and so long in educating, Protestants into becoming, ecumenical, evangelicals, and forgetting all about the protest.
Yeah.
Forgetting all about the seat of the man of sin and where it lies. They've done, I have to say, the Jesuit army has done an excellent job in their counter-reformation.
Yes, they have succeeded in large degree. And, but I'll tell you what, my Savior hasn't spoken yet. And, I believe he's going to change the course of a lot of his people.
I believe so.
And, while some say he may be thinning the herd and, exposing the false Protestants within the Protestant church, he's going to purify as pure gold his people. And as hideous and horrifying as this reality is, it bodes, in addition to all the fearful contemplation of what Rome might do to us, it bodes good news. God's house is being purified, and the true gold is going to come to the surface, and the dross is going to be discarded. Just like the wheat is winnowed, and the chaff is removed, and what you have left is pure wheat. And we could stand a good housekeeping, a good house cleaning. And God is just exposing for the whole world to see those who love him and those who hate him. And the tares, you know, it's nearly harvest time, and the tares are becoming visible.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ready to separate the tares from the wheat. And it's going to be hurtful. It's going to be hard to bear. We're going to have to admit some painful things. But when it's all over, God's house will be swept clean. So the best we can do is hold true to the truth, the Protestant truth, and pray for our friends and family who've been sucked into this global ecumenical apostasy. That's the best, that's the mildest term I could use to describe it.
Well, yeah, well, that's pretty much what it is. When you join hand in hand with the apostate church, you're declaring your own apostasy. There's no doubt about it. When someone declares, you know, vocally, explicitly says that the papacy is not the seat of the Antichrist, well, they have joined with the Antichrist.
Yeah. You can't serve two masters.
Yeah.
You can't serve Christ
and
Antichrist at the same time.
Yeah, speaking of, something happened here a couple weeks ago that you probably thought would never happen. And Chuck Baldwin preached a message, and the message basically was this, that the whole futurist scheme of prophecy is wrong, and that the revelation is about the church in history.
That's right.
Yeah, wow, huh? Didn't see that coming. I didn't see it coming either, but.
No, I didn't see that coming.
It was his October 31st First Reformation message. And he said these words, I have 40 years of unlearning to do.
Oh, took the words right out of my mouth.
40 years of
unlearning. I have 50 years of unlearning to do.
So that coming from someone who's been a pastor for 40 years, that's the kind of humility that it takes to, and you, when you hear that, you know it's real.
You know, I used to be a regular subscriber to Chuck Baldwin's, newsletter, and I nearly wore out a keyboard trying to correct him on things.
Right.
Having to do with Rome.
Right.
And he never answered even one of my emails.
Yeah.
And I'd given him up. I'd listened to him on First Amendment Radio, and I knew he didn't get it. He just didn't get it.
Well, you know how blinded we were.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I'm not looking down my nose at Chuck Baldwin. Lord knows I come from a position of humility. Like I just got done saying, I've been deceived for 50 years. I have 50 years to repent of. Chuck Baldwin's lucky to have only 40. I've got 50 years to repent of.
Yeah.
And this isn't a boast of Tom Frass. This is praise God for his wonderful mercy. God granted me mercy to understand that futurism is a lie. The belief in a future Antichrist has single-handedly destroyed the Protestant Reformation and led this nation on a path toward Rome. Now Romans control our government, federal, state, county, local, and even the local school board. Futurism single-handedly destroyed the Protestant Reformation. And I know that if there's ever any hope for Chuck Baldwin or anybody in your listening audience is to comprehend that futurism is a lie. It was Jesuit-inspired to exonerate the papacy from the onus of Antichrist. And if there was ever to be a return to Protestantism in this country, it would have to be powerful people like Chuck Baldwin. And I'll just hold my breath in hope that God continues to open Chuck Baldwin's eyes.
That's a good prayer.
Because, listen, I can tell you from my own experience, coming to the full knowledge of the truth and how the Jesuits and their Counter-Reformation initiated at the Council of Trent has deceived us, it takes years. It doesn't happen overnight.
That's right.
And there are so many bits and pieces of information that one must simply learn to liberate oneself completely from the futurist deception. And if Chuck Baldwin's got a first start, my prayers are with him. But I know he must have a long way to go.
Absolutely.
And we just have to keep praying for him.
Yep, that's right.
And I won't wear out another keyboard. I'm going to leave this end of it. I'm going to leave my end of it to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. I sent him a copy of The Last Prophecy, you know, the abridgment of the Hori Apocalypticae.
Yeah.
So it might help him out with Revelation a little bit more.
He's a busy man. I hope he has time to read it.
Well, I'm sure he does because, you know, that's pastors have to spend a lot of time reading if they're good pastors, so.
Well, we've championed Chuck Baldwin for relinquishing his grip on futurism. And I know this is your show. You can lead the discussion. But I know one other...
Well, you're my guest. Go ahead.
I know one other pastor on First Amendment Radio who I used to admire, who has repudiated his former belief that the four beasts that Daniel described were Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and then Rome, and that Rome was the fourth and final beast upon the earth.
Okay.
And he's repudiated that belief. He came out of prison for tax evasions, assumably, and he has publicly renounced his belief that Daniel was describing Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and then finally Rome. And that the Antichrist of the Bible was a Roman. And I'm devastated by it.
Yeah, I know. I'm not real happy about it either.
And so you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, unfortunately.
No, God has a way of purifying his people.
And I believe you're talking about Kent Hovind.
Yes, that's who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen the video myself.
Right.
I heard it myself. Well, it come out of his own mouth.
Yeah.
So he has abandoned Protestantism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's fully embraced futurism.
You know, he can maintain his Protestant profession all he likes, but the facts are the facts. Protestantism was historicist in its understanding of the prophecies, yeah. Not futurist.
Still is. If you're not a historicist, that's you're not a Protestant.
That's the point I was driving at.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be futurist is to exonerate the man of sin, the son of perdition.
That's right.
And to make him the leader of the Christian world. And that's what they do.
Yep.
That's what they're doing. That's what the whole ecumenical movement is driving to. Elevating the papacy to the leader of the so-called Christian world.
Yeah, the bishop of Rome is the bishop of bishops, right?
Well, that's the way it started.
Well, yeah. Well, that's
you know,
that's
he was just an ordinary bishop, bishop of bishops. Now, bishop among bishops, I should rather say. And it evolved to the bishop of bishops.
Right.
And then finally to the quote-unquote, God forgive me for this blasphemy, the Holy Father.
Yes. Yeah.
And
what they call him.
As many, many popes have stated that they are, as it were, Christ Almighty on the earth.
Well, it's not blasphemy if you're exposing him. Only if you adore him, worship him, and idolize him. Only if he sits in the seat of God, in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That if he
That's
sits
right.
in the hearts and minds of men in the place of God or the vicar of God, then it's idolatry, it's blasphemy, and it's exactly yeah. what it is.
No, he's no vicar of Christ. He's the vicar of Satan himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and,
sin.
He can preach Jesus till the cows come home. It doesn't make him a Christian.
That's right.
And
he can say all the nice things about Martin Luther he wants. But
oh, it falls on deaf ears here in Iowa.
Yeah.
And all the flattery and conciliatory terms that this diabolical pope can offer Martin Luther. If Martin Luther could hear him, he would spit in his face.
Yep, certainly would.
Martin Luther was absolutely resolute in his belief and understanding about the papacy, and he would not have budged one iota from it. And no flattery from the Pope could sway him.
That's right.
And not just Martin Luther. We give a lot of credit to Martin Luther because he is recognized in history as being the leader of the Protestant Reformation. The Protestant Reformation, let me just say it this way. Protestantism was alive and well long before Martin Luther.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, and as you would realize from my reading of the book by Henry Grattan Guinness, Romanism and the Reformation, that the early church, the Thessalonians under Paul's ministry,
that's right,
knew who the Antichrist would be.
That's right.
And they knew this, that the Caesars of Rome, the political power structure, the power head of Rome, who sat on the throne in Rome and ruled the entire Roman Empire, would soon be replaced by the man of sin and the son of perdition, the Antichrist of the Bible.
Yeah.
And only a couple hundred years after that early Thessalonian church did that happen. The pagan Roman Empire fell, and the quote-unquote holy Roman Empire replaced it. And it's still alive and well today, headed up by the man of sin. That's what the early church believed.
Hey, Tom, we're going to go into a break here. And you want to stick around for another hour?
Sure.
Okay. All right, we're going to go into a break, have some news, and we will be back. So keep listening to Cross the Border.
Pleasing you, where can I hide?
Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And we are here on an election night. I'm not talking about the election, but talking about the Antichrist. And I have as my guest, continuing with me for the next hour, Tom Fress. And let me put my earbud on so I can hear him. And when we left, we were talking about the man of sin, Tom.
Yes, we were speaking specifically about Henry Grattan Guinness and his book, Romanism and the Reformation, where he positively included in the text of his book the text of a prayer that was communally prayed by the early first century Christians.
Okay.
Praying for the longevity of the Roman Caesars.
Wow.
Now remember, the Roman Caesars...
I don't specifically recall that, so... Yeah.
Oh, maybe you missed that broadcast.
I wish I had the book.
I wish I had the book in front of me.
Yeah, I didn't retain everything, obviously.
That was the most significant to me. There was more significance in that book than most, if not all, the other books that I've read. But that was the most significant of that most significant book was the text of an early Christian prayer that was prayed communally among Bible-believing Christians, praying for the longevity of the Caesars, because they knew that when the Roman Caesars were done away with, they believed that the Roman Caesars were the restrainers that was keeping the man of sin from rising to power.
Yeah, I would like that reference, though.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. I'd be glad to share it with you.
Yeah.
And
share that with me sometime.
Oh, it's key information out of that book.
Well, I got so much out of that book. Yeah.
Look, and I've learned a long time ago, you don't get everything from those books by just reading them once.
That's right.
All the books that I read on Inquisition Update, I've read at least four times before I put them on the program.
Yeah. Well, Romanism and the Reformation is on my read again list. Absolutely.
Oh. But let me reiterate, the earliest Christians prayed. Can you imagine this? The Roman Caesars were the ones who fed the early Christians to lions in the Colosseum, making mockery of Daniel's prophecies. Remember Daniel in the lion's den?
Right.
Daniel lived, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Rome wouldn't have it that way.
Yeah, I see that.
Rome would have the lion winning over the Christians. And so that's why the diabolical pagan Roman Caesars fed the Christians to the lions, making mockery of their religion,
right,
making mockery of God's prophet. Many people don't realize that Rome had a strategy in feeding Christians to the lion. It was to make a global statement.
Well, yeah, and they also saw Christians as a sect of Judaism or the Hebrew religion.
Yeah, well, it was none of that. That's for certain. And Judaism was just warmed over Babylonianism. That's why Jesus had so much controversy.
Right,
controversy
exactly.
With the so-called religious leaders of his day. They were polluted with the Babylonian Talmud and every other idolatrous work.
Well, what you were saying, about that prayer that goes along with Paul's statement that the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
Well, certainly.
In that... what's his name? Simon Pater, father Simon.
Simon Peter, Simon the
not Peter.
Simon the Magi.
Yeah, Simon Magus.
Yeah, Simon Magi, Simon the Magus.
He was already building the universal church.
That's right.
In Rome when Paul penned those words.
All references to Acts chapter 8.
Yeah.
And the confrontation where Simon Peter finally met his nemesis. And but nonetheless, it was understood among Paul's churches, obviously, that the restrainer who he was referring to, he couldn't refer to him openly in writing, otherwise he'd been hauled off for sedition.
That's right.
But so when he spoke, he spoke plain language.
Right.
I mean, everybody knew he was talking about the Caesar. But when he was writing in fear of his letters falling into the Roman hands, he had to speak clandestinely. And he told him that when I was with you, I told you all these things.
Exactly.
And he was speaking of the Caesars, that at the current time, that the Caesars would fall, and what replaced the Caesars in Rome would be the man of sin. And they wouldn't have to wait long for this to happen. And it did, just as Paul predicted. And there was falling away within the church. And there were those who professed Christ who ended up following Simon Magus. And they finally ended up starting a church in Rome.
Yep.
Now, it was not the church to which Paul wrote in his book to the Romans.
No, it wasn't.
No, Paul was speaking to true Bible-believing Christians.
That's right.
And he was writing about Rome, and currently engaged in a Bible study on Sabbath afternoons, and that book is still written to Rome.
Isn't it kind of funny that the Catholic Church doesn't claim Paul as the first apostle to Rome?
Well, Paul was most critical of the Romans. If you read and understand the book of Romans, I mean, even the first chapter, what was the first thing that he declaimed about Rome was their idolatry. Rome was known the world over for worshiping any and every god. And there were those that even prayed to a statue of the unknown god.
Yeah, I guess it's easier for Rome to claim an apostle that was never actually in Rome as their own.
And what did Paul finally tell us about those who worship images and idols? That God reduces them likewise to filth.
Yeah.
Anyone who would reduce God to a man-made image or an idol and then bow down and worship it has done nothing but corrupt and pollute God himself.
Right.
Reduce the creator of all heaven and earth to a man-made thing that has to be carried around and dusted.
Yep.
And worship it, a God that can't speak, that can't hear, that can't answer prayer, that can't do anything, but get in your way, the height of stupidity and arrogance.
Yeah, that's a God made in the image of man rather than the opposite.
It literally reduces God to filth.
Yeah.
So God causes them likewise to degrade themselves.
Right.
Men were lying with men as with women, and women lying with women as with men, and polluting themselves and corrupting themselves. That's the very first chapter of the book of Romans. And what malady is Rome suffering today?
Yep.
Homosexuality,
which is
not even a word. It's sodomy. Sodomy. Men lying with men and women lying with women. It's a defining characteristic of the Roman Catholic Church. It is the Church of Sodomy. It's known for its sodomite priests and its sodomite nuns. Nothing has changed.
Yeah.
The Bible speaks to us today just as well as it did in the very first century. And it describes Rome as being the seat of Antichrist. The Protestant reformers were correct on every count. We can take it to the bank. And even the first century Christians, by their prayer, they understood that the power that replaced the Caesars would be the man of sin. History has proven it. Prophecy has proven it. Current events prove it. It's indisputable. And those who would dispute it are simply in ignorance.
Well, you know, I hope the Pope's words backfire on him and more Catholics read the Bible.
Yes.
Because I know what happens when you read God's word. Well, he said it wouldn't return to him void. So.
That's right.
So the Pope may have, yeah.
And every time they read it, something else sticks.
Yep.
Something else rings a bell. And they come out. Look, it appears that the face of the ecumenical Evangelii Bellies is set to return to Rome come hell or high water, and they're going to get both. But my hope, and I really hate to say this, my hope is that there'll be an exodus out of the Roman Catholic Church.
Absolutely.
And we'll have a true Protestant protest against Rome.
Well, God is calling his people out. He said, come out of here, my people. You know, that's...
Yep.
So that's continuing and will continue until he comes.
Look, I know anything's possible. God converted me, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wretched man that I am, said Paul. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Jesus delivered me from false beliefs, from futurist lies, and away from Protestant truth. He restored me. He didn't have to do that. He could have left me in my ignorance. But he didn't. He had mercy on me. He did it autonomously. And he did it without my full understanding in the beginning.
Okay.
And I'm not so sure I completely understand it yet. I just know it's true. And I patiently wait as he continues to chip away at all the lies and put me on the straight and narrow. And it may cost me my life to tell the truth in this day and age, but I will die with the truth on my lips. My life isn't worth anything compared to the truth.
It's worth nothing without it.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I agree. I'm in total agreement with you on that one.
The Protestant truth. Now, you could point out errors within the early Protestant church. I didn't say it was perfect.
No, they were all men too, just like we are.
Sure, and it had some teething problems. They made some errors. But listen, none of those errors, to my best understanding, none of those errors compare with futurism. None of them had the grave consequences of futurism. None of them had the ability to completely overthrow the Protestant Reformation and turn men's hearts and minds to idolatry and to Roman Catholicism, but futurism.
That's an unfortunate truth.
Yep.
And that's why I spend a lot of time battling against futurism.
Yep. I was taught that nonsense from the cradle.
Yep.
He who now letteth will let until he was taken out of the way. That was the Caesars of Rome. And then that man of sin shall be revealed. That was the papacy. It only took 321 years, not long after the last apostle died. And we've been seeing the historical fulfillment of the book of Revelation ever since.
Absolutely.
Chuck Baldwin has made light years of advancement in his understanding, if he now understands that the book of Revelation speaks of the entire history of the Christian era.
Yeah, and for anyone who wants, we have that. If you click on First Amendment Radio, that's loaded in his podcast right now, his October 31st message, and it'll be playing through next weekend on First Amendment Radio, so everyone should listen to that, see what you think.
I just wonder, and I don't want to pick on Chuck Baldwin, I just wonder if he knows now who the Antichrist is.
If he keeps going, he's going to learn.
Yep.
That undoubtedly, who the Antichrist is.
Yep.
It certainly isn't that futurist fantasy of some end-time guy who hasn't showed up yet, nobody knows who he is, and because we're all going to be raptured away before we see him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fantasy
all nonsense.
Going down the drain.
Yep. Well, it's just mind-boggling how they blinded us with futurism and how easy the truth is to understand once one relinquishes his clutch on futurism, the false hope. But there are those who maketh and loveth the lie. God have mercy on them. The truth is makes far more sense. The historicist truth makes far more sense and has much, much greater witness in history.
Absolutely.
Futurism is the newest kid on the block. Now, granted, one caveat to that is, like I said before, Rome from its very beginning, constantly battled people within the church who finally came to the realization the scripture was talking of none other than the papacy and the Roman Catholic Church itself. And so to stop dissent within the church, the Roman Catholic Church early on created alternative interpretations of the prophecies to shed the onus of Antichrist away from the papacy. And the first one was preterism. That was taught in the Roman, these were Roman Catholic teachings.
Yes. Yeah,
that the Antichrist was Alexander the Great, a Greek no less, or Antiochus Epiphanes, or Nero, or Caligula, or any of the other Roman pagan emperors, that would exonerate the papacy, wouldn't it? It did.
Yeah, well, everything that those Jesuits came up with, Ribera, Alcazar, it was all to exonerate the papacy.
It's always been about exonerating the papacy from an onus that they just simply cannot shed. Try as they might. The Bible marks the papacy as the man of sin. That's all there is to it.
Absolutely. There's no
and there have been people throughout every generation that have understood that from the scriptures. Rome will forever have those dissenters within and outside the church that insist the Bible speaks of nothing else but the papacy as the Antichrist. There's no other candidate. There's no other possibility. There's no other entity on the face of the earth can fulfill all those prophecies. I often say it this way, look, common sense tells you that if the entire Old Testament, I call it the Old Testament, there's nothing old about it. It's, the Bible calls it the Law and the Prophets. There's nothing the entire Law and the Prophets is written so that Christ would be positively identified. Even the very calendar date of his first coming, as close as Daniel could put it, was in writing. The people of Jerusalem who understood the timeline that Daniel set forth in Daniel chapter 9 were waiting and looking for the Messiah.
Absolutely.
They knew he was among them. They looked for him, and they found him.
And see, that's the problem with futurism and all of the evangelicals is they should know that the Antichrist is present, but somehow they believe that they can't know who he is until the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And of course, that doesn't happen until the rapture. And of course, you know, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit brooded over the face of the waters even before the world was. But the evangelibellies, the futurists, tell us that somehow that Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of the way.
Right.
Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit will never be taken away from God's people. The Holy Spirit will continue to witness Christ and Him crucified until He Himself returns. Okay? The Holy Spirit brooded over the face of the waters before the world was. God never intended to take His Holy Spirit away from us, nor out of this world.
No, He never will.
And it's just ridiculous what they teach in the churches.
Yeah.
But my point is, when preterism failed to silence the dissenters within the Roman Catholic Church, they came up with futurism. And that finally silenced many of them in the Roman Catholic Church. So what did they do? Well, if it worked to silence the dissenters within the church, certainly futurism at least could have a great hope in silencing the dissent against the papacy outside the church. And the Jesuits were the magicians who were able to put that teaching right in the Protestant seminaries. And so all of a sudden, Protestant professors in the Protestant universities were teaching an altogether interpretation of the prophecies that the Pope wasn't the Antichrist. It's some future power that will come just before Christ's return. and how widely it's been accepted.
Well, that's because, Tom, it tickles itching ears. It's so nice to hear that you get to escape all of the bad things that are going to happen on the earth, that you won't have to go through 7 years of great tribulation for Jesus before Jesus, that we're special. That
I want
we,
one
we
of those.
Don't have to go through that. Yeah.
I want one of those powerful leading Protestant ministers to show me anywhere in the Bible it talks of 7 years of great tribulation.
And it certainly isn't in there.
No, they equate that with the last and 70th week of Daniel's prophecy,
right,
which was perfectly and completely fulfilled by Jesus Christ during his 7-year ministry, and 3.5 years in the flesh and 3.5 years in the spirit after his resurrection. The 70th and final week of Daniel's prophecy was completely and fulfilled by Jesus Christ, the Messiah, just as Daniel prophesied. The 70th week of Daniel is over. It was over 2,000 years ago, and it was performed precisely the way Daniel prophesied it. There's no future 70th week. So if there is tribulation, and I say there is tribulation coming upon God's people, it won't be limited to 7 years. That much we know for sure.
Well, I'm in agreement with you there. We're here for quite a few more than 7 years.
That's right.
The conclusion that I've come to from my scripture, my Bible study, and you're familiar with my study. What year is it?
Yes.
Yeah. So we got
not intimately, but I am
to go.
Familiar with it, yes.
Yeah, we have a lot more things that the scripture says are going to happen that there's no way you could cram it all into 7 years.
No.
You have to be a Jesuit magician to do that. Hey, we're going into a break, so we'll be back in about 3 minutes, everybody. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.
The King of Kings, unto his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and our heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the 7-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality News Edition. And I have as a guest Tom Fress. And if you're watching the video at all, we put a picture of Martin Luther up there because, well, as far as I'm concerned, Tom seems to have the same spirit as Martin Luther had, and that is a Protestant spirit. Recognizing who the Antichrist is and the idolatry of that whore that rides the beast. And he just has to tell everyone about it. We have a website where you can go through where Tom exposes some of these other books he's talking about, like Romanism, the Reformation. If you go to inquisitionupdate.org, and you can even subscribe there, so if anything new comes up, like I will post this broadcast there probably sometime tomorrow. And whatever, if he does a new series and we post that on there, you'll be apprised of that. So make sure you go to inquisitionupdate.org and subscribe there so you can keep apprised of everything that's going on there. Also, my website, crosstheborder.org, make sure you get over there and subscribe to that too, and you get a copy of my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled, trying to drive a spike through the heart of the Counter-Reformation and Futurism with that book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. You better believe there's three raptures that they teach, and none of them, not a single one of them, are going to happen. As a matter of fact, there is no 7-year great tribulation period spoken of in the Bible. So make sure you get a copy of my book. Go to my website, crossborder.org. There's a free ebook tab there. Make sure you get a copy of that. And just follow the instructions on that page, and we'll make sure that you get a copy of that so you can read it for yourself. And let's see, where did we leave off when we went to the break, Tom? I forgot.
Well, we talked about so many things, but futurism is generally the focus of my discussions because it is single-handedly responsible for the destruction of Protestantism in this country and around the world. Futurism, the belief that the Antichrist is some future individual that will deceive God's people, make a so-called covenant with the Jews and then break it, and it's all a lie. The 70th week of Daniel was fulfilled by our Messiah. Daniel's prophecy was all about the Messiah. Not one word mentioned in Daniel chapter 9 has to do with the Antichrist.
Yeah, and it not has nothing one to single do word. With the return of Christ either.
No.
Or the end of the age.
No.
Or the resurrection of the dead.
No.
None of those things.
Daniel was given to know the minute his knees hit the floor to pray, God sent an angel to tell him when the Messiah was coming. And they were to know the time of their visitation by the Messiah. Now, we're not to know the time of his return. There are many date setters in the world that just simply wrong. Okay, you shall not know the day or the hour.
Well, and most of those
They were given to know the precise timing of the coming of Messiah.
And all of those date setters are date setting the rapture.
Well, certainly, because they got a false hope that they're somehow going to be delivered from the so-called man of sin. The man of sin has tormented, tortured, butchered, killed, and confiscated the properties and corrupted the children of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus for 2,000 years. Today is no different than any other day in those 2,000 years. He still persecutes the saints of the Most High. Now, the only reason we don't suffer a great deal of persecution in this country is because we're Catholic in our beliefs. If we were Protestant in our beliefs that the papacy is the Antichrist, our own government would turn against us.
You know,
just like they did Tony Alamo Christian Ministries.
That's right. Yeah, the Pope, you know, reading his words in his so-called celebration of the Protestant Reformation, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus. When Jesus asked the question, he said, "Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit?"
No. No.
And of course the answer is no. And that was the point that Jesus was trying to drive home. And the papacy and the Catholic Church and the Vatican, it's all a corrupt tree. It's corrupt.
You can know them by their fruit.
It can never bring forth good fruit.
The church of pedophilia.
Yeah.
The church of sodomy.
That's right.
The church of idolatry. The church of blasphemy. You name it. The Roman Catholic Church institutionally teaches contrary to all 10 of God's commandments.
And you know, few people believe that the Vatican is in control of America. But all you have to do is look at the Supreme Court.
Certainly.
And look at the Congress and look at all of the Catholics that are in control of this country. If Catholics did not believe in abortion, would we have it here? If Catholics did not believe in sodomy, would they legalize sodomite marriage in America? But the fact is they believe in it, and they believe in it especially, well, abortion they believe in not for their own church, not for their own people, but
the Catholics are forbidden to perform any. That's
to
right.
Extirpate heretics in the womb.
Every time a Protestant practices birth control, he prevents the birth of another Protestant.
That's right.
Every time a Protestant sacrifices their child in abortion, prevents the rise of another Protestant. Rome will, look.
That's the true design.
It was revealed in another book that I read on the Inquisition Update on First Amendment Radio, The Vatican Billions by Avril Manhattan, that it was Rome, the Vatican Bank, that financed the French company that performed the research and development for the birth control pill.
That's right.
And that got out. Mm-hmm. That was revealed in the mainstream media, and it became a tremendous scandal for the Roman Catholic Church. Many Roman Catholics were appalled. But Rome's strategy has always been demographics. And as long as birth control is available, while it is forbidden for church-going Roman Catholics, as long as Rome can make birth control available for Protestants, she wins. In the war of demographics, in the war of numbers, and I told my Catholic critic, who wrote to me and said that if America was Roman Catholic, if the justices on the Supreme Court were true Roman Catholics, there'd be no such thing as abortion in this country. I said, nonsense! You don't even know your own church.
That's right.
They financed the research and development of what eventually became known as the birth control pill. And through the birth control pill, Rome has killed more Protestants than they ever did by the Inquisition.
That's right. And especially like with things like Roe v. Wade.
And of course, my Catholic critic didn't respond to the truth.
Okay, well, I want to take a little a little left turn here. What is the Vatican design with what's going on with Islam in the world?
Well, I don't profess to be an expert on the subject, but I can tell you this.
Okay.
There are many sects of the Islam, some small and some large, that are never going to bend the knee to a Roman rule.
Okay.
And so they have to be radicalized and used to achieve other objectives of Rome while in the meantime being destroyed. So Rome incites them to war so that they will be destroyed. And once they're taken out of the way, then the rest of the Islamic world, the quote-unquote moderate Islamic world, will accept whatever world government the Vatican proposes. And the overall general strategy of Rome toward the Muslims is to pacify the moderates and engage the radicals, those who will never accept the Roman rule, engage them in war for annihilation and to achieve their conquest, Roman conquest, of the modern nation state of Israel. Because it's absolutely essential for Rome to get control of the modern nation state of Israel so that they can perform their 70th week of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
The entire existence of Israel was
absolutely
was purposely brought into reality in 1948 for the sole purpose so that the futurists can have their rebuilt temple so that they can cause the sacrifices and oblations to cease, which Jesus Christ did 2,000 years when he gave up his own life. See, they reject Jesus as the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. They're literally rejecting Jesus
right.
as the Messiah. They preach Jesus all the time,
well, and
but
they turn the Messiah of Daniel chapter 9 into the Antichrist.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it blows my mind that they can
it's
do that.
It's just amazing what they've accomplished to utterly delude Protestants. And so they Antichrist and, you know, a false Christ. And then the whole purpose of Israel is to proclaim the papacy as the Christ. As what Rome has always said, that the papacy is the vicar of Christ, the replacement of the Son of God on earth. He's man's voice. He's God's voice on the earth. And he should be the head of all the monotheistic religions. And there should be a global religion and then an end to all religious wars.
Right.
And man can finally have peace.
Yeah.
And it's not going to come until the papacy is declared the global God on this earth. And Jerusalem is absolutely essential to the performance of that phony futurist fulfillment of Daniel's 70th week. Now, don't ever lose sight of the fact that the 70th week of Daniel is over. Jesus performed it. And in the midst of that week, he caused the sacrifices and oblations to cease by giving up his own life.
Absolutely.
And God ripped the veil of the temple from top to bottom, thus putting a permanent end to animal sacrifices. You can't perform animal sacrifices. Jesus was their lamb. They either accept him or reject him.
That's right.
And to sew that veil back together and begin animal sacrifices again is just a demonstrable proof that they've rejected Jesus as the Messiah, and that's what they did. And so, you know, what was it, 40 years later, the
yep.
Roman 10th Legion, led by the prince that shall come, that is Prince Titus, the son of the reigning current Caesar at the time, Vespasian, came and destroyed the city and the sanctuary.
Yeah, that 40-year period was the true time of Jacob's trouble.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and believe it or not, Nicholas, I've been accused by some people out there of being a preterist in teaching this stuff. What a twist.
Yeah.
But the 70th week of Daniel, the midst of the week, Jesus caused the Messiah, whom Daniel prophesied to come, would cause the sacrifice and oblations to cease by giving up his own life. God ripped the veil of the temple, putting a permanent end to animal sacrifices and oblations. But Rome rejects all that. The Protestants reject all that now, because they believe in a future Antichrist. So if you believe in a future Antichrist, it's going to fulfill the 70th week of Daniel, then we got to do the 70th week of Daniel all over again, right? According to their interpretation of the prophecy. So Israel has to become a nation. Rome can't pull off this deception unless Israel becomes a nation again, with Jews living in the land and a demand for a temple to be built so animal sacrifices can be performed.
Well, I'll tell you what, when they start to build that temple, that's when the play begins.
Yeah. And the whole Protestant world, and I can tell you from personal experience, being deceived for the first 50 years of my life, that the Protestant churches around this country take up collections to help the Jews finance the building of that temple.
Yep.
When their own Bible says plainly, God no longer dwells in temples made with hands. They defy their own scriptures when they take up collections to help finance the building of a temple in which God will never dwell.
Yeah, that is idolatry.
And to cause the Jews to eat and drink damnation to themselves by making additional sacrifices of animals and oblations and drink offerings. Do you love the Jews? I love the Jews. God brought us Jesus through the Jews. Why in the world would any Jew-loving Christian encourage them to build a temple and begin animal sacrifices again?
Well, if the Antichrist is not going to allow animal sacrifice from the Temple Mount.
If you want to express your hatred for the Jews, then you encourage them to build that temple.
Yep.
And to do what God forbids.
That's right.
The city and the sanctuary were destroyed.
Yeah, and God destroyed them.
God saw to it.
Yep.
And it's never to be rebuilt again. There's a Jerusalem coming, but it's a heavenly Jerusalem come down from God out of heaven.
That's right.
And that will be given to the saints, all those who accept Jesus as the Messiah and who would never make any sacrifice. Whether it's a lamb or a goat or a bull or a man-made piece of bread. So now you know who's condemned. Collectively, I call it the synagogue of Satan. Jesus is the only sacrifice, the one-time, all-sufficient, God-sent sacrifice for sin. Jesus, the Messiah, the one whom Daniel prophesied to come. And when they rejected him, at the end of that 70th week, remember it spoke specifically about the Messiah and Daniel's people, the Jews, and Jerusalem. That all came to an end.
That's right.
At the end of that prophecy.
Absolutely.
And there was a period of probation. I hate to use the word, but God eventually sent the Roman 10th Legion to completely destroy the city. That ended the nation of Israel.
That's right. Absolutely.
Now, there's a spiritual Israel. Those who receive the offering that God gave us. That cannot be duplicated, cannot be repeated, cannot be replaced. And those who are still looking for an offering, a sacrifice, have not Christ as their lamb. And they simply do not understand the scriptures. And I've come out of those churches. I'll never darken the door of another so-called Protestant church, because they don't protest anymore. They don't teach the truth. They don't understand the scriptures. They teach Catholic lies, preterism and futurism. It's all about exonerating the man of sin in Rome and to make him the global governor of the world in a new world order, which isn't new at all, but simply a global recreation of the old world order. And what defined that old world order? Wholesale slaughter of God's people.
That's right.
To the tune of millions.
And they hope to do that again.
That's what they...
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes left, Tom. Any last words for our listeners?
I hope you can tolerate the tenor and the fervor in my voice and repent of futurism and give God's blessing. May God grant you the same mercy that he granted me and deliver you from the lies being taught in all the churches today. And blessings in the name of the one, the only one, who caused the sacrifices and oblations to cease 2,000 years ago. The real King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ the righteous, the Messiah, the Lamb of Almighty God. That's my hope and blessing for all of you.
Well, I'll say amen to that. And thank you so much for being with us today, Tom.
It's my pleasure.
We'll talk later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Thank all the listeners for showing up and listening to Tom. Spread the word about his broadcast at 8 a.m. Pacific time on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Right now, his expose of Footprints of the Jesuits. Good information. Talk a lot about the Jesuit Counter-Reformation Army. It's always good to be armed with good information on all of that. Go to Tom's website, inquisitionupdate.org, and make sure you subscribe there. And when you do all that, then go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and make sure you subscribe there. Get a copy of my book. Click on that free ebook tab. And make sure you get a copy of that. The rapture will be canceled. And that is, all three raptures will be canceled. No one will be raptured. And you'll see by the end of the 7-year tribulation deception, that's what I call it, that no one's going to be raptured, and everyone, the whole world, will wonder after the beast and the mouth that speaks for the beast, the mouth that speaks great things and blasphemies. Even today, he speaks great things and blasphemies. He seeks to draw you in by lauding the great reformer, Martin Luther, on this 500th anniversary coming up in 2017. 500th anniversary of the year that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church at Wittenberg, and the Reformation began. Ever since then, the Counter-Reformation has been very hard at work and working very hard, and they've done a wonderful job for evil in quieting the Protestant Reformation down to a unmentionable murmur, something that is not even heard today. But you're hearing it right here on this broadcast, on Tom's broadcast, on First Amendment Radio, and other voices that are speaking out today. The protest is not over. May the Almighty bless each and every one of you as you continue to walk in God's kingdom. We'll see you next time. Greatest Prophecy DVD from Cross the Border Productions. Embrace the little known, the greatest prophecy given by the great high priest, the Messiah, reveals the Creator's once secret plan for mankind at the first sacrificial event. Believe it. Behold the end times in Daniel chapter 2, because
the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof sure.
It is the key to prophecy future. Comprehend the 7-year Great Tribulation Deception. Be not deceived. understand the great prophecy delusion, because
if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Be forewarned. America, in prophecy, exposed for all to see. You must see it. The mark of a beast. No, it's not a biochip. A much better and more secure technology is already here, and you are already using it. We will bonus you with a free copy of Richard Bennett's groundbreaking work, The Inquisition, when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Visit the shopping page at our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. Send your support donation of $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, Tulare, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.